Welcome to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah, the podcast where we look at biblical truths to answer the pressing questions we encounter every day surrounding cultural issues. We are your hosts, Sarah Cherney and Judge Phil Gibb. So today's topic is truly the foundation of Christianity. It's the very definition of who God is. And it's the one thing that our world lacks the most right now. And that's truth. So we aren't talking about my truth or her truth or whatever other creative expressions we hear these days. We are going to talk about the truth. And so in John 14, 6, Jesus states, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So today we're going to unpack what this means for us. So Judge, I think before we can really dive into truth, we need to understand what it is and what it is not. So what is truth?
Well, interesting enough, in John 14, 6, the use of the word thee is an imperative thee. It isolates it as singular. And so when you come to this point and talking about what truth is or what it may not be, what we know is that absolute truth is that which is true, and I know that's really double speak in some words, but when it is true, we know that it is true for all people, at all times and in all places. Mm-hmm. There is a thing that we call truth that is objective and not relative. Truth is discovered; it is not invented. Mm-hmm. It is a revelation, if you will.
So it's not a project of your imagination or how you feel.
It certainly is not based on how we feel, and so it's not whimsical in that regard. And we know the Bible's true because it quite honestly tells it like it is, and by that I mean there are things in the Bible that probably would not have been put there if somebody had been trying to invent a religion. Like, for instance, if I was Peter, I certainly wouldn't have put anything in there about me being unfaithful to Christ, and then we see all of the other things about David and Abraham and all of these things, and we see everything. I mean, so there's an element of truth to that, and it corresponds to reality, and we know that in our own lives.
So when you think about truth, and I know we talk a lot about truth in our world today, and there's so much that's not true, lies, deception. So who is truth for? When we think about truth, who is it for? How would you answer that question?
Well, I think truth is there that's God-given to us. The real question sometimes is not what truth is, but what it's not. And so many times, I think, Sarah, we get to creating truth to fit our own personal needs, to make something work when we're trying to, the old mountain saying, fit something, a round peg into a square hole. And so we're trying our best to make that work in our lives. And it is also an effort to make us feel good. And that's one of the reasons why it's often difficult for us to assess how other people see us, because we want them to see us the way we want to be seen. And we can rationalize. Basically, truth is not rationalization, but truth is for all people. If you look at 1 Timothy 2:4, God desires all people to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what it's there for. Truth, I think, is especially important for us as Christians. Maybe certainly should be more important to us as Christian than the average person, because we are called in Ephesians to live and speak and literally love the truth. That's part of our calling as Christians. Jesus told us that truth is accessible to us. It's not, Paul said in his speech on the Areopagus, that reality is not far from us. It's right there next to us if we look for it. John 16, 13 says the Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. And even though truth is universal, a full understanding of spiritual truth, I think, comes from directly from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. As believers grow in their relationship with Christ, they grow in their grasp of truth, and it goes all the way back to John 14, 6 that you mentioned earlier, Sarah, if Jesus is the truth, the more that we know about Jesus, the more that we incorporate Jesus into our lives, the closer we are to the truth, because he's right. the truth.
Our culture, though, speaks against that. And our culture, and I think what happens with a lot of people, Judge, is that instead of seeking truth, because truth can be found, instead of seeking truth and looking to what is the truth, people actually self-deceive and form opinions, and their personal opinions that actually allow us to acquiesce to the sin that we want to continue in our lives, versus saying no to sin and yes to what is actually true. Jesus said, you know, the truth will set you free. So many people are locked in shackles of their own making because of their own decisions. As they don't seek truth, they seek, you know, an excuse for the way they want to live.
Well, and I think you're exactly right, Sarah, but, you know, that Paul tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. We wrestle against principalities, and Satan himself is the father of lies. He is the antithesis of truth, mm-hmm. if you will. So as you think about that, have you considered how we literally pervert truth in our society and how that comes about in today's culture?
Well, if you take a look at what's happening in today's culture, the Bible does tell us, 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4 tells us, for there will come a time when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And so I think it's important to understand that that really reflects what I just said before. The Bible reflects what I just said, that people want to hear what they want to hear. They want to make excuses for behavior that really supports a sinful lifestyle. You can see that all around you in some of the actions that are taking place today. Things that we are purporting to be considered healthcare, such as abortion or, you know, mutilization of children. That is not healthcare. That is a lie. That is a lie, because the Bible tells you in the very first pages of Genesis that God created them man and woman. Women cannot become men and men cannot become women. It is biologically impossible. You may be able to convince yourself that this is what you'd like to do, but that is a lie. And so our culture, though, what's happening around us through laws, through persecution of people who stand on these truths, people are silent. They're not afraid to speak up. And so that allows evil to permeate.
Well, I think you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. And I think in our society as well, Sarah, we look at different sources for truth than mm-hmm. what we ought to be looking at. Majority opinion mm-hmm. does not create truth. In fact, a majority opinion of the United States Supreme Court does not create truth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And though we may have laws, and our country is based on laws, just the mere obedience of the law does not necessarily create truth in our lives.
Well, all we have to do is look at history to see that to be the case. Just because a law was passed, or even if you look in the historical books of the Bible, it's clear that just because our leadership said this was the right way to go, it is not what God wants. And people experience the consequences of those actions, as we do in our own society today. We're experiencing the consequences of laws that have been passed that have killed, for instance, 60 million babies. So there are consequences. There's a detriment to actually not seeking the truth. And I think we find, instead of studying or looking deep into topics or situations or reasons why, we actually look at sound bites. We're utilizing social media for a sound bite on something versus really understanding the context of what's happening with a particular law or with a particular topic, such as, you know, look at the ruling that just took place in our own state. I was reading about this, which allows men to go in young women's locker rooms. That just doesn't make, that's insanity to me. That is actually an infringement on a woman's rights for privacy, for protection. And so, but yet our law is stating that that's okay, that it's actually an infringement against a man who I quote unquote identifies, and you can see air quotes here, identifies as a woman. To me, that seems to, that's not just, you know, your truth, my truth. That's insanity.
Well, it's It's more than that. It's evil. Mm. You know, just as an aside, I saw this startling statistic the other day, and you're talking about abortion. If we had a moment of silence for every child that has been aborted since 1973, we would have to be silent for 115 years.
I think that puts a visual and physical context around the annihilation of the most helpless of population.
Well, what we get into is ultimately we have traded truth for absurdity.
Well, and convenience, or for something that we want to hold to assuage our sin. If we followed biblical truth, we wouldn't be in this circumstance in the first place. And that's going to be the topic for another podcast, but I want to hold to this one. So, Judge, let me ask you another question. How do Christians remain steadfast in the truth while encountering so much confusion in the world? Because there's mixed messages everywhere. We have mixed messages in education, in our institutions that we have trusted, even the medical arena, to our government, whether it's local or federal government, in our church today. There's mixed messages even in our churches today regarding, you know, what would be considered truth. So how do we remain steadfast? What do we do?
Well, you know, I think the first thing that Christians must do when we're dealing with truth or defending the gospel or scripture, so we have to come to grips with that in our own lives. Mm. We have to understand truth and its application to us through scripture, through reading the Bible, through studying God's word, and through prayer. That's how the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us, is through the reading of the scripture and through prayer. And before we can deal with anyone else's position on truth, we have to resolve that for ourselves. That's true in my life. I had to come to grips with that. But in a world that rejects absolute truth oftentimes, which is where we are, particularly in our nation, we as Christians are encouraged to uphold and defend these biblical truths. And to though we're respectful, we certainly have to defend these important tenets of our faith with dialogue with other people based on sound doctrine. That's what 1 Peter 3:15 says, to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give the reason for the hope that we have, mm-hmm. but do it with gentleness and respect. And that's mm-hmm. the heart of what we are at mm-hmm. Southern Evangelical Seminary. Then you go over to 2 Timothy 2:15 and it tells us to present ourselves as one to be approved before God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed. And the King James says, rightly dividing the word of truth. More modern translation would say, correctly handling the word of truth. Mm-hmm. And so that's so important. Then you go over to just the following verses from that, in verses 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy 3. It tells us that all scripture is inspired by God, and it's beneficial for learning, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, highlighting the authority and truthfulness of what's there in the scripture. So one of the things that I would say is, beyond that, I think that there is, on the part of every Christian, should be the search for the truth. You know, we offer classes here at SES. We train people in the truth. We train people how to find the truth and how to act on the truth of the gospel. We're extending that with Truth That Matters, which is really to lay people. We're trying to build a community that's not only willing to answer the questions, but they're willing to ask the questions and to experience this discipleship and disciple making and have those ready resources at hand to do so. The one thing for sure, Sarah, is that we can no longer sit on the sidelines and expect for someone else to do this for us.
I think for our audience, it's important for them to understand, especially for those who may be listening, who are questioning, who are seeking, who might not understand what it means to follow Jesus and to be a Christian. I think it's important that we also let them know that Truth That Matters, which will be coming out soon, a lot of the work that we're going to be doing through Truth That Matters will be a place, a safe space for them to actually learn, to ask their questions, to grow in a deeper understanding of what is truth and how does this apply to your life? Because the fact of the matter is that you can hear all of this, but you have to apply it to your life. It has to become part of your core so that you, as a person, can remain steadfast. But then also speaking out against the evil that we see. We cannot be silent when we see things happening in our schools, with our children, when there's something that we might be able to say or do. We need to understand what we stand on. What do we stand on? And be able to share that. I think that's also part of our call as Christian soldiers, if you will. Putting on the armor of God. The Bible talks about, you know, in Ephesians, putting on the armor of God, which is our protective gear, but at the same time, utilizing, you know, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, the truth of the word of God, to be able to speak into what the evil that's taking place in our world. Because whether you're a Christian or not, you see it, you can sense it, you know it. And so for those who might be listening who are questioning, we're asking you to continue to follow along with us in this podcast. We are going to have some really wonderful tools for you to help you understand how you can remain steadfast and how you can stand firm and strong and tall in the days ahead.
Well, you know, Christianity was never designed to live in a vacuum. Christianity is designed to answer the tough questions of life. And that's one of the reasons why at Southern Evangelical Seminary and at Truth That Matters, not only are we wanting to live and breathe and love the truth, but we're wanting to be a friend to the skeptics. We want to be a safe space for people who are seeking to come. And that should be the goal of every Christian, to be able to take these tough questions and not to be angered by the questions, but to see them, see the individual who has these questions as someone who's sincerely seeking and needs desperately to find the Lord. And that really brings us to the end of this episode of Everyday Truth. And we want to thank all of you for joining in our conversation. And Sarah, I look forward to the next one.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah. As always, stay informed, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay steadfast in the truth.